Well, the year was 1999 when a man named George Bell was approached by one of his financial partners and encouraged to take a meeting with a small internet startup company from California. At the time, Bell was the CEO of a company called Excite. They were pioneers in search engine technology. Now, Bell had heard what this small company in California was doing, and he was interested, and so he agreed to take this meeting, and the talks went really well. So well that they eventually evolved into negotiations. And this small company offered to sell to George Bell and his company Excite for the price of $1 million. Now, Bell liked what this company was doing, but that's a lot of money for such a small outfit, so he declined that offer. But this small startup countered. They said, well, what about $750,000? We'll just shave a $250,000 off the price. And again, it was tempting, but that's a lot of money for such a small company. It went back and forth like this for a little bit. Eventually, Bell got frustrated and just called off negotiations altogether. Now, many of you have probably never heard of George Bell or his company, Excite. I don't even know if they exist anymore. I kind of doubt it. But all of you have heard of this small startup company from California. It's called Google. It's kind of a big deal, and it's worth hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars today, way more than $750,000. What a missed opportunity, right? I mean, you could have bought Google for $750,000. If I had that kind of cash, sure, I'd do it. Life is full of these opportunities, these significant kind of defining moments that have the potential to change the trajectory of the rest of our lives. These moments are so powerful that they have the potential to even shape the kind of person that we become. These are moments with the power to change us in some way. And what we find when we look at the pages of Scripture is that God wants to be the one who guides that change. We started a series last week called A Time for Change. It's all about our time, how we use our time, how God uses and works in our time for his purposes and for his glory. And this morning, we're talking about these defining moments, these significant, memorable times in life that change us somehow. And to help us understand these moments a little better, we're going to be looking at a passage from the book of Mark, chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, open them up to Mark, chapter 1. And if you don't have your Bibles, that's okay. You can follow along on the screen behind us. You can pull it up on your phone with the YouVersion Bible app. It's your choice. So Mark, chapter 1, verse 14 is where we're going to begin this morning. So let's set the stage. Our passage begins at a significant time of change in the biblical story. Up to this point, God had really been worshipped by the Jews. There were a few exceptions to that, but that was pretty much the only group of people that worshipped him. And worship of God had become kind of a complicated affair. You had to go to the temple in Jerusalem to make your sacrifices. And there were certain festivals that you were obligated to celebrate and keep. And there were certain offerings that you were obligated to make. And there were a whole host of rules and laws that you were obligated to follow. And keep in mind, these dealt with more than just moral issues as well. There were certain laws about what you could and could not eat. There were laws about what you could and could not come into physical contact with. It's safe to say that the worship of God, it probably become a little more exclusive and a little more hindered than what he originally intended. And for that reason, it was time for a change. And that's where the story of Jesus picks up. He is the initiator of this great change. And our passage takes place at the very beginning of his ministry. So let's look at Mark chapter 1, verse 14, see what it says. It says, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. So this is a summary statement of what Jesus is preaching as he goes along the region of Galilee. He's saying, the time is near. That is quite the attention getter, if I do say so. And we need to understand a little something about this word time when Jesus says the time is near. Many of you may be aware of this, you may not be aware, but the New Testament wasn't originally written in English. It was written in an ancient dialect of Greek. And in that dialect of Greek, there are two main words for time. The first is chronos. That is the kind of tick-tock, on-the-clock kind of time. It's where we get our word chronology. The other kind of time comes from a word kairos, and kairos deals with more of a specific time or a moment, if you will. These are times that are often memorable and worth paying attention to. The difference between these two words is the difference between saying the time is 11:30 and do you remember the time I was in the hospital? Now, 11:30 on its own is not very significant. It comes around twice a day, every day, although it's about lunchtime, so it's pretty significant for me. But that time you were in the hospital is a little different. That's a specific time, a time that you remember, a time that made an impression upon you in some way. That is kairos time. So here is Jesus traveling around Galilee, proclaiming to people that the time has come. Do you want to venture a guess as to which one of those two words he uses? Yeah, it's kairos. It's the more significant one. Jesus is marching around this region preaching. Basically, his attention getter, if I could expand on it, is pay attention, people, because the time has come. This is a significant time. This is a defining time. This is a time worth remembering because it's a time that could change the trajectory of the rest of your life. So listen up, because the time has come. It's going to get your attention, isn't it? So Jesus is trying to alert these people. They are on the precipice of one of these significant, defining, life-changing moments. And believe it or not, that's a very relatable experience. Because we still have those moments in our lives as well. And that brings us to the first point I want to share with you this morning. We have to learn to recognize these specific times, these special times in our lives. We've got to learn to recognize these moments in our lives. Because rarely, if ever, is there going to be someone like Jesus standing there pointing to them and saying, "The time has come, pay attention, because one of the times has arrived." We have to learn to recognize these things on our own. And so I want to share with you a little tip to help us recognize these significant moments in our lives. You ready for it? Pay attention to the emotions and the outcomes of a situation. You need to pay attention to the emotions and the outcomes of a situation because in these significant moments, the emotions and the outcomes are seldom neutral. They are either recognizably good or recognizably bad. Here's an example. I had a buddy in college who I could have swore to you was cursed with bad luck. It got so bad that we in our circle of friends, we would use his last name as shorthand for something went terribly wrong. You know, it all started this one day when he was walking out to his car. He just received his new laptop that he had ordered in the mail. It was a MacBook Pro. It had all kinds of extra options on it. This was a laptop that ran somewhere north of $2,500. He scrimped and he saved for this thing, and he waited, and finally it was his prized possession that he had owned for all of a week up to this point. And so he's carrying his prized possession out to his car, and he sets it on the roof so that he can open the door. You already know where the story's going. He throws his junk in the back seat, gets in the car, starts it up, and starts to move. And as he turns out of the parking lot of our dormitory, his laptop goes sailing through the air. He instantly realized what he had done, slammed on the brakes, got out of the car, and saw his beautiful prized possession laying on the ground in a twisted heap of aluminum and plastic. He hit his knees. He raised his hands to God, and he shouted a word that I'm not going to shout in church this morning. You can use your imaginations. It was one of those moments. It wasn't a good moment, but it was one of those moments. The emotions, the outcome, his reaction, nothing about this was good, but it was still impactful. It was a memorable moment. This happened 10 years ago, and I'm sharing the story with you, and it didn't even happen to me. This is one of these defining moments that changed him in some way and made a mark on his life. Pay attention to the emotions and the outcomes because they are seldom neutral here. Your commute to work in the morning or your trip to the grocery store, it's probably not going to be one of these special moments. If it is, you need to get out more. We got to find you a hobby or something. But that time when you lost someone that you loved, or that time when you were laid off from work, that sticks with you a little bit. That made an impact on your life. or that moment when you held that baby in your arms for the first time, or you saw your bride coming down the aisle, or you got that letter in the mail that said, congratulations, we are pleased to inform you that dot, dot, dot. Those are moments where our lives changed in some way. And we have to learn to recognize these moments and appreciate them for what they are, because it's so easy to get caught up in the emotions and in the immediacy and just react. But if we can recognize them, we give God the opportunity to step in and direct how they change us. And that brings us to the next point I want to share with you this morning. After we learn to recognize these moments, we have to realize God wants to work in these moments of our lives. There is something he wants to grow, to accomplish, to develop in us through these specific moments. Look back at what Jesus says in verse 15. He says, the time has come. Here's your moment. What's the next thing he says? The kingdom of God is near. Here's what God is doing in this moment. Now, this kingdom of God concept, it's kind of a big, full, at times complex concept. We're going to try to explain it in about 3 minutes. So here are the cliff notes of it. God is and has always been in control, right? He has and will always sit on the throne of authority. But not everybody has always recognized this. For example, there are some people that worship other gods. There are some people that worship no God at all, and there are some people that worship God but really don't want to do anything that he asks of their lives. Each of these circumstances fails to give God his due glory and his due honor as the one who is in control. But this kingdom of God concept, this was the era when God was going to change all of that, when the world would finally wake up and come back to its senses and realize God is God, and our hearts and our minds would be turned back to him. And Jesus is the one who is bringing this kingdom near, because he's the one who is changing our hearts and our minds, right? That's the cliff notes of it. It's a kind of a complicated concept, but that's the gist of it. It's maybe easiest to understand through the example of somebody's life. In this, we get to see that God wants to work in these moments to change us and bring us closer to him. See if you can see that theme in this story. Don Winget is a professor of astronomy at the University of Texas in Austin. And Don was raised in the church, but had a lot of questions that went unanswered. He went to college, actually at the University of Illinois, and through his studies really just fell away from the faith. He didn't find it convincing anymore. In fact, he kind of fell on the opposite end of the spectrum. He became, in his own words, a, quote, fire-breathing atheist. His hobby was tearing down other people's faith. Fast forward the clock a little bit. Don was married. They had 2 children, and they wanted their children to have some sort of moral foundation. And he and his wife realized they got that moral footing from church. So they started investigating different religions that they would raise their children in. It had to be at least somewhat plausible. So they eventually made their way to Christianity and started to investigate. Long story short, Don and his wife are both committed followers of Jesus Christ today. They have reconfessed their faith. They are once again in the kingdom. And it just goes to show you, when you go poking around, Jesus is going to get you, folks. But here's what I want to really illustrate. Previously, Don believed in no God. He didn't recognize God's authority. He was outside the kingdom. And then he met Jesus. And his heart and his mind were changed so that today he says, God is God. He has authority over my life, and I want to live for him. Don has been brought into the kingdom. And that's the change that Jesus makes. That's what he's doing here in Galilee, walking around preaching, the time has come. Here's what God is doing. He's turning our hearts and our minds back to him, and that's the work that God can do in these significant moments of our lives as well. He wants to work in these moments to change us and to draw us closer to him. But that's not where... let me show you what this looks like. I forgot my illustration for a second. Here's a real-life example of what this looks like, okay? Don, we saw how you can be changed. Here's how God can work in a moment. Lindsay and I have these friends. Their names are Matt and Nicole. They live in South Dakota. Matt works in the oil industry. And a couple of years back, there was a really big boom up there. You probably remember that. About that time, Matt and Nicole found out that they were having twin boys, which is kind of a funny story in itself. I'll share sometime. So they had one boy already. They're about to have two more, which means they need a bigger house because currently their residence can't hold two more people. But this oil boom had sent housing prices through the roof, and they were really struggling to find a place that would fit their growing family, but that they could actually afford as well. And I was talking to Nicole about this, and I could tell it was really weighing on her. And then I realized this is one of those moments. It is a difficult moment, and it is a struggle, yes, but it is also a golden opportunity for them to trust God and his provision in a whole new way. And I'm happy to say that's what they did. God used that moment to grow and change Matt and Nicole's faith and to draw them a little bit closer to himself. That's the kind of work that God can do in these moments if we learn to recognize them and realize that he wants to work in our lives. But it's not just going to happen on its own. There is an active step that we have to take. We have to respond to God in these moments. You look back at what Jesus says in verse 15. He says, the time has come. So there it is. There's the moment. The kingdom of God is near. Here's what God is doing. And look at what he says next in verse 15. Repent and believe the good news. Those are active verbs. Those are things he is commanding people to do. There's a response to be made when we realize God's going to work in these moments. And sometimes that response is one of repentance. To repent basically means just to turn our lives around, to get back on the path that God desires for people. There's a story I like to tell that illustrates repentance pretty well. My buddy Lance and I were driving home from college one time. We went to college in Joplin, Missouri. We were driving back to Salem, Illinois, about a 5.5-hour drive. And any time Lance and I get together, we have way too much fun. We laugh too much. We listen to music too loud. We eat a lot of junk food. It's a great time. And this was no exception. We were traveling, laughing, not really paying attention, so that when we got into St. Louis, we totally missed our exit. So we took a different ramp, and it led to one of those neighborhoods. You know, one of those roll up the windows, or lock the doors, pray for green lights kind of neighborhoods, the place you don't want to be. Now, eventually, we found an on-ramp that took us back onto the interstate and put us back on the path that we needed to be. And a lot of times our lives are kind of like that. For whatever reason, we wander off the path. And sin inevitably will lead us to one of those places we don't want to be. What we need to do is take the on-ramp, repent, and get back on track. And a lot of times these moments, these significant moments, give us that golden opportunity to repent and to change our ways. There was a time in college, it was actually 2 weeks after I started my freshman year of college, where I had just moved in. I had just unloaded a lot of money to pay for tuition and dorm and all that stuff. And 2 weeks after I got there, I realized that my car had this funny noise coming from the engine. So I got it looked at, and it ended up being a $1,400 funny noise. Now, I had just paid all this money to college. I had $1,400 to my name, and that was it. I was 400 miles from home, which I thought was a great idea, but turned out it was a horrible idea because here I am stranded in Joplin, Missouri with no real way to drive around. I was a little worried, and I was kind of stressing the situation. In fact, I was really, really getting worked up here, and I had a friend who was kind enough to point out, your concern and your worry is really becoming unfaithfulness. And he was right, because I believed in a God that provided. And I believed that when Jesus said, don't worry about what you'll eat or what you'll drink or what you will wear, for the pagans run after these things and your Father in heaven knows that you need them, I believed he meant that. But I wasn't living that out. And I had to repent. I had to change my way. So God and I had a good long talk. And over the next few days, he taught me how to be a little more trusting and a little more faithful. And he changed me a little bit because I was willing to repent in that moment. Sometimes repentance is how we respond to God in these significant times. Maybe it's an attitude of the heart. Maybe it's unforgiveness or jealousy or bitterness that needs to change. Maybe there's some activity in our lives or some part of our social life or our romantic life or what have you that's not in alignment with what God asks of us. These significant times give us the opportunity to repent, to get back on the path, and become the people that God desires us to be. We have to respond to God in these moments. Sometimes, though, it's not repentance that we respond with. Jesus also says here, believe the good news. Sometimes we respond to God in these moments just by believing. So what is this good news that Jesus is talking about? Well, it's the gospel. In fact, that's what the word gospel means. It's good news. It's this good news that all of our sin, all of our guilt, all of our shame has been washed away by the blood of Jesus. It's this good news that even though we had wandered off the path, God loved us way too much to leave us there. That he desires for us to come back home, that he desires for us to be changed, that he desires for us to be with him forever. That's some good news that we can celebrate this morning. And there are times in life where we just need to hold on to that and trust it. Because life is hard sometimes, not telling you anything you don't already know. Life can be challenging. It can be a struggle. It can bring you to your knees and kick you while you're down. And sometimes in those moments, there's the temptation to blame God for the struggle, when in reality, we need to hold on to him in the struggle and trust that he really does love us. That despite circumstances, he really does desire good for our lives and not harm. That he really does desire to galvanize our faith rather than shipwreck it. And sometimes we just need to hold on to those truths in the struggles of life. If you ever need a reminder of the validity of those facts, remember the gospel of Jesus. Because God would not have sent his innocent and only son to die for people like us unless he really loved us and wanted something better for us. Sometimes in these moments, we just have to hold on to the gospel. There are questions that we ask ourselves in these struggles of life. Maybe the first question we ask is, God, is there something that you want to change in me through this struggle? The other question that maybe we ask is, God, will you help me trust in Jesus more during this moment? We have to respond to God when he wants to work on our lives. If we were to keep reading our passage, we'd find how different people in the story responded to Jesus. We would read just actually after this little section in the book of Mark about three guys named Peter, James, and John who recognized this moment, who realized God wanted to work, and who responded to Jesus by following him, and their lives were changed forever. We also find at the beginning of chapter 2, however, that there were people who heard these words of Jesus, did not recognize the time or respond. We find that they are the Pharisees and the scribes, and they don't come out looking too good at the end of the story. The question that we have this morning is, which will we be? Will we be the people that respond to God in these moments? Or will we be the people that ignore God in these moments? This series is called A Time for Change, and sometimes the change that needs to take place is the one in here. So I would encourage you this morning, be alert. Learn to recognize these significant defining moments of your life. Realize God wants to work in these to grow us and change us, and then have the courage to respond to God in these moments with faithfulness. Maybe it's repentance, maybe it's just belief. Whatever you do, don't waste these moments, because you may be missing out on a significant time for change. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for being so interested in our lives and who we are. We thank you for being patient with us and for desiring us to become the people you dream us to be. I pray that we would learn to recognize these significant moments in our lives and invite you to step in and to work. I pray that we would respond with maybe repentance, maybe trust, maybe belief, maybe faith. And I pray that in these actions, you would go to work in us, giving us clean hearts and renewed minds, that you would transform our behaviors, that you would change us to be faithful people, to look more and more like Christ Jesus every day. We thank you for Christ. We thank you for the blood that washes us clean, for the cross that he bore, and the gift of life that we have because of it. And it's in this name of Jesus that we pray these things. Amen.